We've heard this text read to us now. It's what we have traditionally called the Christmas story. And it's full of beautiful things. And a lot of the things that we just heard read, maybe you read this story with your family this morning or last night. A lot of these things attach to our memories growing up. Things about the Christmas story become favorites for us. Maybe for you it's certain characters in the story. Joseph or Mary or the angels or the shepherds. You got the wise men in Matthew's count. It happened a little later. Or maybe it's the choir of angels in the sky. Those things maybe are your favorite. We could all probably go around and share our favorite parts of the story. Or maybe it's just a certain part of the story, like Joseph and Mary's trip to Bethlehem. You know, and you maybe in your mind, Mary's riding a camel. Maybe you guys over here, she's riding a donkey. Don't think the scriptures tell us, but they travel. You know, and maybe that's your favorite part, or maybe it's another part of the story, like the baby being put in a manger, soft hay. We told that to Eli this week, and that was his, he kind of latched onto that. In his mind, he saw them putting that soft hay and laying a baby down in there. Or maybe it's key statements in the Christmas story that's your favorite. Statements like this: "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day." Can you guys hear me saying this in Linus's voice, right, from the Charlie Brown story? You know, these things latch onto our memories, right? Or maybe this statement is your favorite: "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." That verse has always kind of been a little haunting to me, you know, to picture Mary just living this life that God placed in front of her and thinking about these things. Or maybe your favorite is one in Matthew where it says, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of these beautiful things in this story. But you know, sometimes when we read a familiar Bible passage, something new jumps out at us. That is what happened to me as I was reading this story the last few weeks and just kind of thinking about it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit chooses to bring out another facet of the story and emphasize kind of a key truth that seems new to us. And once you see it, you think, "How did I never see this before? It was right there all along." As I was reading over the Christmas story this year, what jumped out to me is a huge emphasis on the favor of God. The favor of God. Did you hear that when it was read earlier? When the angel came to Mary in his greeting, twice he said she's found favor with God. "Greetings, O favored one." And then she goes to her cousin Elizabeth's house, and she's 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist, and he starts doing gymnastics in her womb, right? And somehow she knows by the Holy Spirit that it's because of joy. You know, some of us would just say, "I don't know, it must have been something I ate," right? But she, from the Holy Spirit, knew that the baby in her womb was happy. Isn't that something? And what did she say to Mary? I think it's three times she calls her blessed, 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 favored, favored, blessed. You ever noticed that before? The Christmas story is about those who have found favor with God, those who are blessed. And it's really the same, isn't it, when we get to chapter 2 and the angels to the shepherds, they say, "Well, glory to God in the highest." It's first and foremost about Him and His glory. But secondly, what? "And on earth, peace." You know, the old translations say goodwill towards men. And as I dug in the original languages this week, that goodwill towards men, what that's saying is peace towards those who have found favor with God. Peace towards those God has decided to bless. And so I want us to look for a little bit here about the favor of God today. And this is an encouraging message for us if you're a believer. Because if you're not a believer who has turned from your sins and trusted in Christ and what He did at the cross, you have not found favor with God. And you're outside of His blessing. But if you are a believer and you've turned from your sins and you're living a life that proves that, you should be encouraged this evening because you've found favor with God. What is the favor of God? What is the favor of God? Well, quickly, if we could just boil it down, it's being a recipient of God's special favor and grace. His free choice to be kind to someone who does not deserve it. I'll tell you what favor is not. Joel Osteen put out a book a few years ago that has been off-quoted. It's called Your Best Life Now. Joel Osteen talks a lot about being under God's favor. But how he describes being under God's favor is like this. On page 41, he says, "Perhaps you're searching for a parking spot in a crowded lot. Say this, Father, I thank you for leading and guiding me. Your favor will cause me to get a good spot." Is that the favor of God? Or on page 39, he says, "I've come to expect to be treated differently. I'm a child of the Most High God. He has crowned me with favor. Therefore, I can expect preferential treatment from people." That's page 39. Is that what the favor of God is all about? Is that the good news that the Christmas story brings us? Hey, good news, world! Jesus has come! You can get the best parking spot at the mall. I mean, that's great. I wouldn't turn down a good spot, would you guys? Here in Conway, sometimes the traffic is crazy and... What about this dilemma? What if there's two Christians looking and there's only one good parking spot and they're both under the favor of God? Which Christian gets the good spot? You know, the Bible defines the favor of God a little differently than expecting people to treat us better. You know, Jesus said that we're going to have suffering in this world. You may not get preferential treatment from your boss. You may not get good news from the doctor. You may not get the promotion that you've been praying for. You may have your neighbors look down on you. In fact, the Bible says anyone who will live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. When we suffer, does that mean that God's favor is not on us? No. Favor means sinners have found an open door into the salvation that God wants to give us in Christ. We didn't deserve it, but God has chosen to give us favor. He has chosen to be kind to us. And that is a preferential treatment, but it's from God and not men usually. And it's about salvation and not about parking spots. As I looked at the Christmas story, and by the way, I'm glad that the big news we have as Christians is better than getting a good spot at the mall. Amen? We've got something better than health and wealth. In this world, you will have trouble, Jesus said, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The Christmas story is about God flinging open, wide open, a door of salvation for sinners. In His Son, Jesus Christ. That is good news. Amen? I want to look at two people who found favor quickly. First, it's Mary. Mary found favor with God. That's all over this text. And there's two ways that Mary found favor with God. We see God's favor on Mary in two ways. First, it's her special function. Mary had a job that you and I didn't have. In fact, because the Son of God would only be born once in human history, Mary had a job that no other person in history can have. It was a one-shot deal. It was a one job, and God chose a young lady in Israel. And so that is the favor of God in a very specific, practical sense. Mary, it says, is called blessed among women. In verse 42 of Luke 1, blessed are you among women. And Mary said in her song, the Magnificat, she said in verse 48, from now on all generations will call me blessed. Well, we know that some groups in the Christian stream make too much of Mary. And, you know, they say that she's a co-redemptrix who gives grace to us, and we pray to her. And that's beyond what Scripture tells us to do. And then maybe other groups react to that and go to the opposite extreme, and we never even want to talk about Mary. But Mary was blessed. That's what the Bible says. Amen? She was treated with kindness by God. And so we see God's favor there. God chose to use that young lady in a special way. The angel Gabriel greeted her in verse 30 of Luke 1. He said, O favored one. And then he says, you have found favor with God. The New Living Translation translates verse 30. You have found favor with God. Translates it as, God has decided to bless you. And that is that's a good translation. That's true to what the author is trying to say here. God has decided to bless you. That is the favor of God. You see, the favor of God, grace is a free choice by God. God does not owe any man or woman or child salvation. The only thing God owes us is His wrath and His holy condemnation, because we are rebels and traitors against Him and His glory. But God's grace means that God, instead of giving us what we deserve, because of His great love, He chooses to pour out grace. He chooses to pour out salvation on us. God has decided to bless you. And so all the praise can go only to God. Amen? Not to Mary, not to us. God has decided to bless you. Can I just pause right here and say, if you're a believer tonight, God has decided to bless you. Can you take that home with you tonight and think on that as we close out this year, 2016, this next week? Will you think on that this week? If you're a Christian, it means God has decided to bless you. That ought to make us humble, and that ought to make us grateful. Amen? What grace we enjoy. We could be in hell tonight, and God would be good and just. But here we are with so many blessings. Have you praised Him today? And as we close out this year, have you blessed the Lord for all He's done for you and your family? I know it's been a tough year for a lot of people. A very hard year. But God, in the midst of the hard things, has been good to us. Better than we deserve. And so the first way we see that Mary has God's favor is her special function, her unique job. But you know, there is a second way we see Mary's favor from God in this story, and it's really the biggest way. It's not just her special function, it's her saving faith. Mary, we see in this text, is a believer. And you don't become a believer by yourself. Or else, hey, gather in church and sing a few hymns of praise to yourself. No, it's the grace of God. While we were running from God, He chased us down with His grace. And by His Holy Spirit, He pulled us under the glory, the blessings. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's how we see the love of God. Romans 5:8 tells us. Are you glad for the grace of God that chased you down? We could probably tell stories of how we came to Christ. None of us were born looking for Him. None of us were born righteous. None of us, even as we began to grow up and make choices on our own, none of us chose to give Him all the glory. We lived for ourselves, and God hunted us down, and through one set of circumstances or another, He brought us under the hearing of the gospel, and He brought us to our knees, did He not? I remember the night in my bed when God hunted me down and showed me my sins. And I had to get out of bed and get on my face in the carpet, and I saw Jesus bearing my sins, and everything changed from that time. It's been 20 years since then. I can never forget it. He has been good to me. I can sing Mary's song, guys. The Lord has taken mercy. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. Praise God. He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. Can you say that tonight? Do you know the Lord? Can you give glory to the one who has made you a believer? We see in our text tonight that Mary was a believer. As I was studying this out, I came across an article on DesiringGod.com by John Bloom. And it really backed up a lot of what I was thinking and where I was wanting to go in this tonight. And he brought this out, that the greatest blessing Mary received was not that she could give birth to the Savior and care for Him as a mother. That was a great blessing. But the greatest blessing Mary received from God is that she believed God's word when it came to her. I want to show you that, how our text brings that out. Mary was not sinless. Did you know that? Mary was a normal woman who needed a Savior. In fact, if you look in verse 47 of Luke 1 when she's singing her song, she said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Do you see that? Mary called God her Savior. She needed a Savior, and God gave her favor, not just to bear the Christ, but to be welcomed into the family of God as a believer. And the best way we see this, Mary says in verse 38, when the angel told her that she would give birth to the Christ, look how she responds. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. What does that mean? It means she heard God's word and humbled her heart and said, yes, your will be done. That sounds like Jesus' prayer in the garden, doesn't it? It's a heart of humble faith. A heart that yields itself to God. This is the prayer. This is the heart. This is the attitude of every believer when we're born again. We come to the place in our lives where we quit fighting God. And we say, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. I praise God for that. That's a clue. That's fruit. That's evidence that Mary is a believer, which means she's under the favor and grace of God. The next thing we see in the passage is in verse 45 of chapter 1. Elizabeth calls Mary blessed, blessed, blessed. You're blessed, she says. And then the whole text builds to this last statement from Elizabeth. This is the crescendo, the climax. This is what the text wants us to notice. The last words Elizabeth says to Mary, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Do you see what the Christmas story wants us to focus on? Yes, it was a blessing that Mary could give birth to Jesus. But the greater blessing is that she was given a humble heart from the Lord. She was blessed with faith. She said, she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of the word. Mary believed God's word. The NET Bible translation, the notes there says, the key point of this passage is about believing God. The whole thrust, I'm talking grammatically, linguistically, the way the words are put together, it wants us to get out of this that when you hear the word of God, you humble under it and believe. And that is how you know you're favored by God. If you can hear God's word and say, yes, Lord, you're favored. You're blessed to believe. That's the flow of this scripture tonight. If you believe, you've been favored by God. But I want to show you about Mary and about the key thing that being that she is kind of a model believer. She's an example for us because we're not going to give birth to the Messiah. That was a one-time job, a special job. But we will believe like she did. She is an example of what to do when you hear the word of God. And so she's favored and blessed. But Jesus, in his comments later on, also show us that Mary is not to be focused on as a person, but her faith in God. And we don't have time to read all these scriptures, but I want to show you two places. One is in Luke 11. If you're writing notes or if you want to remember this to look it up later, there was a time in Luke 11 where Jesus was teaching, and a lady out of the crowd just got so happy about Jesus' teaching that she wanted to praise Jesus, and she said it this way, Luke 11, 27. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you, and blessed are the breasts at which you nursed." But Jesus said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." And that's all it says about that story. I want you to notice that this woman, she didn't mean anything by this. She just wanted to praise Jesus, but she did it by praising his mother. She said, "Jesus, it would have been awesome to have been your mother. You're so amazing that it would have been a blessing to be your mother. Blessed is the womb that bore you. Blessed are the breasts that you nursed from." And you notice what Jesus did. He deflected the focus away from Mary, his mother. He didn't insult Mary. But he said, okay, blessed to be my mama. But the real blessing is what? What did he say? To hear God's word and obey it. To believe it and obey it. What is the point then? Jesus doesn't want us to lift up Mary or Peter or James or John or anybody and to worship them. But he wants us to follow their example in hearing the word and believing it. Amen? And so that is what the Christmas story and on into the gospel it would have us to take from that. The second example is Matthew 12, 46 to 50. You guys remember this story? It's another time when Jesus is teaching. His disciples are in a circle around him and the house is full of a crowd. And they come to him and say, "Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you." You remember what Jesus said in that context? Again, Jesus deflects the focus away from his mother and his brothers and puts it on hearing the word and believing it. He says, they said, "Jesus, your mama, your brothers are outside looking for you." And he said, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" And he pointed to his disciples who were hearing his word. And he said, "These are my brothers and these are my mother. For whoever hears and obeys, does the will of God, they are my mother and my brothers." What's my point here tonight? The Christmas story shows us the favor of God, what it means to be blessed. And we see it first in Mary, in her special job of getting to give birth to Jesus and care for him. But we see it secondly and greater in that Mary believed God's word and obeyed it. She said, "Here I am, Lord. You have this special job for me." Even though it wasn't a glorious job, do you know that Mary had to endure insults and people whispering behind her back about this young teenage woman who is pregnant out of wedlock? Who knows what all she had to endure? But she said, when God called her to that, she said, "Yes, your will be done, Lord. I'll take the plan that I had for my life and I'm going to crumple it up and throw it in the trash. And your plan, your dreams for me, God, not what I wanted." Don't you think that kind of redirected Mary's life? Took it in a direction she was not expecting. What were her dreams? Not to get pregnant before marriage. But God had something for her. And it was a holy pregnancy as the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. And Jesus was conceived in her womb. And so God wants us to follow this example of Mary and show that we are favored by God when we hear the gospel to believe it. That's the two from Mary. Her special function, her saving faith. But there's one more group of people in the Christmas story who are blessed and favored. And it's you and me. It's believers. Believers have found favor with God. That's what we see in chapter 2 when the angels announce to the shepherds that we have been favored by God. The story of Jesus' birth is not primarily about Mary finding favor with God, but using Mary as an example, the point is that the coming of Christ has opened the door of God's favor wide for all His people to enter. Everybody who hears and believes. Not only was Mary highly favored, but we who believe are highly favored by God. We, like Mary, have become recipients of grace. I'll show it to you in the text here. First, the favor was announced by the angels. We see the glory to God in the highest. And secondly, peace on earth among those with whom He is pleased. I mentioned earlier, you know, we're used to hearing that old, you know, goodwill towards men. And that's good as long as we recognize that that goodwill is coming from God to us. Sometimes we think, one translation said, peace to men of goodwill. And that's not what the text is saying. God is not responding to our goodwill by giving us Jesus. We had no goodwill towards God. We were sinners running from God. It's God's goodwill that has come toward us. And so John MacArthur says this about this text: God's peace is not a reward for those who have goodwill, but a gracious gift to those who are the objects of His goodwill. In other words, the angels are declaring amazing news. They're announcing that in the birth of Jesus Christ, God is bringing peace to those who have found favor in His sight. Peace means an end to the war. We are at war with God, and His wrath is against us, rightly because of our sins. But with the birth of Jesus, God is beginning what will be the end of the war through what Jesus does at the cross, as Jesus, the God-man, mediates and brings us to God. So we are highly favored in the sight of God. We see here also, glory to God, on earth peace among those with whom He's pleased. That's how the ESV translates Luke 2:14. Other translations bring this point out as well. The Holman Christian Standard Bible translates it, peace on earth to people He favors. The New Living Translation translates it, peace on earth to all whom God favors. And the NIV, peace to those on whom His favor rests. So you see what the language is saying here is that God is pleased. God has decided to bless us with peace through Jesus Christ. That's good news, isn't it? When you hear this story, this Christmas story, glory to God, and hey, God has chosen to be good to us. And that's what the birth of Jesus is about. Now, as we get ready to wind this down, I want to show us the favor of God from another place in Luke. That favor is not only announced by the angels at the birth, but if you fast forward two chapters to Luke chapter 4, when Jesus grows up, He tells us what His mission is all about. And He talks about the favor of God. I want to show you this in Luke 4. This is a familiar passage. Verse 16 to 21. Look at this. And He came to Nazareth where He had been brought up. And as was His custom, He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and He stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to Him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed," in verse 19, "to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That's what we're talking about in the Christmas story. God has decided to bless us, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Now, it's awesome to know Jesus is reading from Isaiah 61, verse 12. And he quotes from Isaiah there about recovery of sight for the blind and all these good things that God is doing, which Jesus' ministry is fulfilling. But Jesus stops before he reads the next part in Isaiah, which says, and the year of the Lord's vengeance. You see, Jesus stopped right there because his birth and his mission in his first coming was not to bring God's wrath on us, but to come and receive God's wrath on himself at the cross. He came to start his mission of the favor of God. Guys, we live in an age of grace. The door has been opened for the favor and grace of God. We who hear the gospel can repent of our sins and believe the message of Christ and be saved, welcomed into the favor of God. But Christ is coming again, and this door of grace is going to close. And he's coming, and all who are outside of his favor, those who are in rebellion against God, who won't bow the knee, they will suffer the wrath of God in that day of vengeance. And so when Jesus read from Isaiah, he said that he proclaimed the year of the Lord's favor. If you look up that year of the Lord's favor, you know what Isaiah is talking about? The year of the Lord's favor? He's talking about what Leviticus 25:10 tells us about, the year of Jubilee. You guys remember your Old Testament Sunday school? What was the year of Jubilee? In Leviticus, God has given the law to Israel. The year of Jubilee is awesome. And it's a little weird. You know, we could wish for it today. Every 49 years, all slaves go free. And all the land that you had to sell because you came under hard times, in the year of Jubilee, everybody's land came back to them. All debts were forgiven in the year of Jubilee. Is that amazing? That means once in every generation. You don't get to do it twice usually, right? But once a generation, all debts are forgiven. Isaiah took that year of the Lord's favor. Hey, by the way, Israel never observed that. There's no evidence that Israel ever obeyed that law. They never set the slaves free on the year of Jubilee. They missed out, didn't they? When God made them into a nation, they had all these laws and they didn't really observe them. But God had programmed that into the cycle of their years, their calendar. Every 50 years, all the debts are forgiven. You see, Jesus, when he grows up, this infant born in a manger, he grows up and he walks into church and he takes Isaiah and he says, he reads this, it's the year that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointing me to proclaim recovery of sight to the blind and freedom for the captives and to proclaim the year of Jubilee. In other words, I think it's the NET Bible notes, it says that the year of Jubilee has become a metaphor for salvation, for Jesus' mission. That's why he was born, to give us a spiritual Jubilee. Do you see the goodness here? We are under the favor of God. The day from Christ's ministry to the time he comes back, we can have all debts forgiven. It's the year of Jubilee. Spiritually, all who come to this Christ with repentance and faith, all debts, all sin debts are erased, and we are washed and accepted in the favor, the smile of God's grace. That's something to decorate and get festive about. Amen? That is a gospel. He came, and grace and favor has been proclaimed. Peace on earth to those who have found favor with God. That is our message. Man, you know, I just want us to shout and sing hallelujah for a little bit. You know, isn't that good news? That we have this message. So Jesus himself taught us about the favor of God. And I got to close with just bringing us to a couple of places in the New Testament where the apostles showed us that we have favor. We could read all the whole New Testament, but let me point out three quick passages. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed, there's that favor, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. That's a lot of blessings in there, amen? This is the grace of God for us. Man, I'm going to keep preaching until y'all start smiling and get happy. We are under the blessings of God. If you're in the church, you are called beloved. Y'all said, I'm tired of this preaching. I'm going to say amen. All right, and one more. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you're God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Hey, greetings, O favored ones. You are blessed if you're a believer. Man, you may have a lot of trials going on, a lot of struggles right now, but I want you to know today, because Christ put on flesh, because he came down and stooped low and served us and taught us how to live and died on the cross as our sacrifice and rose from the dead, defeating the slavery to death, because he did that, all who believe are blessed. We are blessed. I don't care how many bills you owe, how many bills you're behind on, what your health report is like tonight. You are blessed if you're a believer. And you need to know it. And you need to thank God for it. Amen? You are under the blood of Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. It's the year of Jubilee. You're washed. Amen? Made right with God through Jesus. You're blessed. And Jesus said this in Matthew 25:34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah! Mary was favored by God. But the angels announced that this blessing would come to all people. All who believe. Hallelujah! That's right, baby Ellie. Christ has come. He was born to bring us into the enjoyment of the favor of God. This favor is ours to enjoy. It cost Jesus dearly at the cross. We need to give thanks tonight to Christ. And as we leave tonight, I want you to go home, if you're a believer, I want you to go home praising the Lord. Go home celebrating that we are under the favor of God. His favor rests on us. Be encouraged tonight and always. We are loved. We are highly favored by God. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to those who have found favor.